Yeah, evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. So today I'll be sharing from Psalms 25, verse 1 to 3. The theme is looking upwards. Sure, I shall read for us Psalms 25, 1 to 3. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So the background of Psalms 25, it is that it is written in the setting of intense personal and political crisis for King David. It is also an alphabetic acrostic. Its structure suggests completeness and discipline. This Psalm 25 is anchored in King David's experience of covenant faithfulness during this time of intense struggle. David was an aging king, driven from his home by his own son. He was grappling with both military threats as well as the guilt of past sins. Some believe that it reflects his time fleeing from King Saul, where he was desolate and afflicted, constantly surrounded by treacherous enemies. As it was just mentioned, Psalm 25 is an alphabetic acrostic, meaning each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Because of the translation into English, this acrostic model is actually lost in the English translation. But in the Hebrew translation, this structure suggests completeness. It is written from A to Z in the Hebrew language. It was actually designed for memorization, allowing the believer to carry these truths in their hearts during times of struggle and testing. What we can learn is that even in David's life, when it was chaotic, his prayer remained structured and disciplined, trusting in God's orderly providence. So for the outline of today's sharing, you'll be looking at 3 points: the direction of the heart, the anchor of our trust, and the certainty of weight. So in verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." True prayer is the lifting up of the soul. We cannot save ourselves. We must look entirely outside ourselves to God. Matthew Henry notes that to lift up the soul is to detach from the world. We cannot lift our souls to God if they are anchored to earthly idols. What is weighing down our souls today? Is it anxiety, sin, or self-reliance? Many of us are often encumbered by the things of this world. We are weighed down by our own sins, our work, deadlines, mundane chores that we find no meaning. We look down, we rely on ourselves and our own strengths, or we look for distractions or fleeting and fulfillment that this world can provide instead of directing our gaze upwards. The fulfillment that the world provides is only temporal. Lifting implies an effort. There's a conscious turning away from the self towards the sovereign. David knows that he has no internal resource and must look entirely into the sovereignty of God. A ship's anchor goes down to find stability. In our Christian life, our anchor must go up. Stability is found by anchoring our soul into the heavens, and especially into the intercession of Christ. If we don't lift our souls to God, we will inevitably ground it on earthly treasures like money, reputation, comfort, or career. So what is currently competing for the lifting up of our soul today? Moving on to point 2, the anchor of trust. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. There's a transition from lifting to trusting. It marks the move from posture to conviction. Trust is not a vague feeling, but a reliance on God's character. Our confidence rests in God's decree and his lordship over our enemies. David isn't trusting a stranger, he is trusting his God. And if we belong to Christ, our victory is secured by his resurrection and not by our own performance. In David's psalm, he says, "Oh my God," this is a claim of ownership. David uses the possessive mine, and this is the appropriate act of faith. He recognizes that through the covenant of grace, the infinite God has become our personal portion. And he also says, "I trust in thee." It is not a feeling, but a fact. Trust is not an emotional vibe. It is throwing one's full weight upon a solid object. He also recognized that he is totally unable to save or sustain himself. And to trust God, we must at the same time distrust ourselves. And also there's a plea against shame. He says, "Let me not be ashamed." David is not merely afraid of being embarrassed. Shame meant that God has failed him. In the Reformed view, David is saying, Lord, if I'm put to shame, the world will think your covenant is a lie. For the sake of your glory, do not fail me. God is obligated by his own character to honor the trust of his people. John Calvin says that he who trusts in God's promises cannot be disappointed, for God cannot deny himself. Also, David says, the presence of enemies, let not my enemies triumph. David doesn't ask for the enemies to disappear, but rather for them not to triumph over him. God often allows our enemy to surround us to prove that our victory comes only from his hand, not our own strength or strategy. And in verse 2, David is seeking security in the midst of insecurity. Christ was put to shame on the cross so that we as believers will never have to face ultimate shame before the judgment seat of God. Moving to the last point, point 3, the certainty of the weight. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. In Psalm 25 verse 3, the prayer shifts from the personal I to the universal, none that wait. This verse establishes the perseverance of the saints and the final justice of God. So the corporate confidence is that David moves from his private struggle to the collective experience of the church. He realized that his trial is not unique. It is a common experience for all believers. And what does it mean to wait on thee? What is waiting on God? Waiting on God is not something passive. It involves active expectancy. Waiting is an exercise of faith. It is not a gap in our spiritual life. It requires spiritual discipline. It requires more grace to wait than to work. It is an active, disciplined and expectant posture of the soul. It sometimes certainly is not easy to wait and not receive a response or not receive an answer. But waiting definitely is not passive and is an active expectancy. So waiting on God involves three specific dimensions. First is the patient submission to sovereignty. Waiting is the recognition that God is the master of time. It's the quieting of the heart against the urge to take matters into our own hands. Very often, when we find that things are not moving, we want to do the things our way and we take matters into our own hands. When we wait, it is to say, thy will be done in thy way and at thy pace. Waiting is also an expectant trust in the covenant. Waiting implies a stretching out of the mind towards a goal. It is like a sentry watching for dawn. He doesn't know when the sun will rise, but he is 100% sure that it will. And waiting, the third dimension, involves active spiritual vigilance. Waiting is an effort of the soul. It involves lifting up the soul. It is through prayer, study of the God's word, and a means of grace, even while the answer may be delayed. And it says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. We are also exhorted in Psalms 27 verse 14 that you should wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. What about these two shames? The shame of the faithful is avoided. Those who wait may look foolish to the world now, but they'll be vindicated in the last day. Whereas the shame of the transgressor are those who transgress without cause. These are the unrepentant who rebel against God's law for no reason other than their own depravity and sin. They will inherit eternal shame. Thomas Manton, the English Puritan clergyman, says, the world's glory ends in shame, but the saint's shame ends in glory. Let us be content to be losers for a season, that we may be gainers for eternity. Let us close this short devotion with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this, your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we need to look to you for our eternal resource and our infinite resource, Lord. We should lift up our souls instead of looking to our own strength. We also thank thee, Lord, that we can trust in your everlasting love for us and ever goodness for us, Lord. And also help us to be able to wait on thee, even though sometimes waiting can be difficult. But yet we should trust in thee, Lord, that waiting is a spiritual exercise and it's a spiritual discipline. Help us to know, Lord, you know what's the best for us, Lord. Continue to be with us as we continue in this prayer meeting, Lord. All this I pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.